Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of What Else You Got with Mitch and Margo. Welcome, welcome, welcome. How are you doing today, Mitch?
I'm doing pretty good. It's another day in paradise. So I heard you've got a phenomenal topic for today.
Oh, that's setting the standard pretty high to use an adjective like phenomenal. I don't know about phenomenal.
Right. You've got a lukewarm topic for today?
Yes, let's go with that. So I was on the TikTok. You know, I love the TikTok. And I love the For You page because it pulls up some interesting things. Every once in a while, I have to click the little button where you mark, this is not for me, because I do not want the algorithm to show me certain things. And so I will go out of my way to say, no more of that. Did you know you could do that? That you could tell it, don't show me anything else like this. Yuck.
I think there is, but I don't do TikTok beyond the social media management that has different tools.
Well, I enjoy seeing a variety of things on the For You page. And so it showed me the other day, and I apologize, I did not write down the name of the fellow, but the name of the lady was Brené Brown, and she was a guest on this guy's podcast, and she asked him, she said, tell me the tagline that you always close with. And I'm not going to say the full tagline, but he said that his closing tagline is always inner peace, mother effers. And she said to him, she said, don't you think that's a little paradoxical? Because it's contradictory, right? And so she went on to talk. She's a super smart person, Brené Brown. She went on to talk about how the human brain is wired and how the human brain can handle paradoxes. And so that's what I'd like to talk with you about is paradoxes. Let me define it for you. Paradox is a statement, idea, or situation that appears self-contradictory or goes against common sense, but upon closer examination, reveals a deeper or more complex truth. So what do you think of do you like a good paradox?
I like paradoxes far more than I should, because as you pointed out, it's the appearance of a contradiction when in reality it's not. And so it's just one of those that you sit there and go, that's weird. I didn't think about that. Because speaking of For You pages, one of the things that has been coming up recently is, did you know that by blowing out of a funnel, you can suck up a ball?
That seems like a paradox.
Yeah, it is. And it's one of those that you sit there and go, interesting. And then you start taking it apart and go, so it did that, it does this. And you go, it's because of these things, it actually works together and it actually works.
Fascinating. Mm-hmm. I think that you should put up a video of you demonstrating that.
I'll have to find one first.
Because that's something I would like to see. That seems absolutely paradoxical. Another simple example is the phrase, less is more. So at first, that seems like a paradox because it's not possible for less to be more. But as you examine it and think about the deeper meaning of it, I think you mentioned in a previous podcast about German engineering, about how you could take a whole bunch of parts to make something work, or you could redefine it with less parts to make it work. And so if you have less parts, it's actually more beneficial in my mind because it's less opportunity for the device to break down. So in that particular example, less is more. Less parts is more beneficial.
So let me rephrase it a little bit of less parts is more reliable.
Ooh, yes. Yes. So sometimes less is more. Can you think of any other paradoxes, or what were you going to say?
I was just basically going to say, it depends on what words you stick in it. Cause I got to think of, less items in a room is more space in the room.
Yes.
So when you start putting objects in that sentence, it makes sense. But if you take out it and just leave less is more, you start going, how does that work? But as soon as you start assigning things to it, it starts thinking, because like assembly, the less parts there are, the more products you can produce. And so there's just a bunch of, as you simplify something, you're able to increase something else.
Yeah. And again, it goes back to that original definition of, on the surface, the paradox seems contradictory. But then as you think about it more and go below the surface and ponder it more deeply, it begins to make sense. And so that's what you're doing with the less is more. You're pondering it more deeply, going beneath the surface and realizing, okay, yeah, less chocolate in the house, more opportunity for me to not gain weight.
Or more opportunity to go get more.
Right. I absolutely love chocolate. I think I need to go get some chocolate ice cream today, actually. Ooh. I love chocolate ice cream. Yum. Can you think of another example of a paradox?
Well, there's plenty, but considering I did not prep for this, I don't have one on top of mind.
I'm going to ask Google. I love asking Google. I'm going to ask Google to tell us what is the most interesting paradox. What is the most interesting paradox of life?
Sure.
Of what?
But I did... anything. But I did think of another paradox that doesn't quite make sense. Because did you know that if you have a knife and a potato, so a knife up here, potato down here, and you hit the top of the knife, the potato goes up?
I think I might have seen that on TikTok.
Yeah. And it's, again, it's one of those that you expect everything to go down, but it's one of those that if you start taking apart all of the other things, you go, oh, it works because of all these other rules.
Well, our friend Google brought up some really great examples. It said, first of all, it says, there is no single most interesting paradox. It's like it's trying to be funny with me. Thanks, Google. Appreciate you. It says some of the most compelling are, and I'll name the three, and then we can talk about whatever you want. Actually, if I click show more, there's, there's a really great list. Okay. We've got plenty to talk about. I'm going to name a few of them. Growth paradox, where growth takes longer than you expect it, but happens faster than you can imagine. Wisdom paradox, where the more you learn, the more you realize you don't know.
I was going to say that there's a phenomenal quote of the more I see, the less I know.
Yes, exactly. We'll come back to these. Productivity paradox. This is one I experience on a regular basis, where working longer hours can actually result in less being accomplished. And then the fear paradox, the thing you are most afraid of is often the thing you need most to do. And the effort paradox. To make something look effortless, you have to put in a lot of effort and practice. Ooh. Okay, this is a really great list. So if we exhaust the few that I've already mentioned, we can just keep going. So let's talk about, you want to talk about growth or wisdom?
I like the wisdom one.
Wisdom, where the more you learn, the more you realize you don't know.
Yep, because the easiest example of kids and teenagers, they think they know everything, but as you get older, you go, I don't know that one because I haven't heard of that one before. But the real trick is, do you keep the facade of knowing everything or do you admit not knowing something?
I'm the type of person that I will just admit it. I don't want to be fake. I don't want to pretend. And sometimes I think that there's a great freedom, not just for myself, but those around me, when I admit that I don't know something, because then it gives the people around me permission to also admit when they don't know something. And then it creates a stronger sense of teamwork and continuity and unity. How about you? Do you pretend to know something?
So one of the interesting problems I suffer from is pattern recognition. And so it's one of those that A, B, C, D, and you go, all right, it makes sense. And then if you go 1, 2, 3, well, you go, are they going to go to 5? Because it's one of those that similar numbers. And it's just one of those that if you understand the principles, you can project what you think the outcome is. And so it's one of those that you can make on, I don't have the exact answer, but with what I understand, this should be the answer. And so you're admitting you don't know, but you're also offering a potential solution, which it says, I don't know, but I understand how it gets there. I just don't know everything to get there because I haven't done it yet.
One time I took a verbal test and I listened carefully to the instructions. The instructions said, I'm going to, because, you know, the person was giving me this test. And so the person said, I'm going to read you a series of 10 different problems. And as we go through each problem, you're only allowed to ask me to repeat the question one time. Do you understand the instructions? And I said, yes. And so then I thought about the instructions. Okay, I'm only allowed to ask him to repeat the question one time. And so I didn't even try to answer after hearing it the first time because I thought that would be too much pressure to try to remember all the information because it was a long story. Each one was a long story problem. And so the first time he read me the question, I just let myself simply listen and become familiar with the entirety of the problem, kind of like the concept of read all the instructions before beginning this project. I was listening to the entire problem, and then I immediately asked him to repeat it. And the first time I did that, he looked up at me almost confused, like, you didn't even try. Why are you asking me to repeat it? But I said, please repeat it. And so then listening to it the second time, now I knew what the problem was. So the second time listening to him, then I could do the calculations in my head to solve the problem as he was going through it the second time. So I admitted right up front, I admitted, I don't know how to solve this right away. So I'm just going to ask it to be repeated. And then I can calmly solve it the second time. So does that make sense? Kind of playing into this topic of wisdom paradox, instead of being prideful, I was just like, this would actually help me to admit I don't know and help me to solve the problem by being humble.
And really one of the big strengths that some people have, but not a lot of people try to do is, like you said, take time to understand the problem and then take time to understand potential solutions. Because a lot of problems in especially corporate America is, all right, we're all in a meeting. You don't have time to research anything. Here's new topics. We need solutions in 3 minutes, which is one of those that you go, okay, so you had all the time to put together the problem, but we don't have time to solve it. And so it's one of those that sometimes the best solution is to say, I'm not solving that right now, or I'm not going to provide an answer because if you want the best answer, I need to put together the answer. I need to go learn the answer before I can give it to you.
Well, I like that. And part of what you just described is process. And so if you're asked to solve a problem, you need to be aware of the parameters of the process. And if the parameters of the process are not conducive to solving the problem, then before you can solve the problem, you need to refine the process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I actually have a project at work where we keep changing the process because we know what the problem is, but we don't have a process to get to the solution. Mm-hmm. So we've been changing the process as we're coming up with solutions. And then we go, oh, we need to go fix this stuff because by changing this, we're missing these gaps on these other solutions. And so it's tiring, but at the same time, we're building it correctly.
Yes, I love that. I love that. Anything else on the, well, you know, you had mentioned pattern recognition. So is that, do you mean that seriously, like you have trouble identifying patterns?
So not that I have problems identifying, it's I identify patterns, predict a solution, and I get the solution right probably 75% of the time, with a lot of small details that got missed. But it really is just for example, going back to the potato knife, it's you hit the knife down into the potato because you understand that an object in motion wants to stay in motion, an object not in motion wants to stay not in motion. The potato doesn't want to stay in motion, so the knife goes through it and then picks it back up. And so it's one of those that if you understand the parts of the problem and how each part works, you can put them together and predict the outcome. And so a lot of engineering principles, a lot of physics principles, and English, it's one of those that what's the next word I'm going to say? It's a idea that you can build on and insert word. So you could put improve, you could put grow. There's a bunch of different words. And it's one of those that all of those words that everyone just thought of are valid. Were they the ones I was going to use? That's the part that you need to validate the pattern recognition. And as you understand how someone speaks, you're able to predict words. So when you start texting and it starts predicting text, what your next words are, it's because it understands how you speak. And so it can predict based off of your patterns.
Got it. All right. Should we move? You want to move on to productivity paradox, or do you want to move on to the fear paradox?
Let's do productivity, because that one, I think everyone suffers from in one form or another. And it's one of those that it's always interesting solutions. Because I'll start off with unlimited PTO. Good thing or bad thing?
Again, makes me think of a TikTok video I saw where, you know, it was a parody or satire. What's the right word? You know, of an employee calling into work saying, I want to take October 1st through December 31st off. And the employer says, no. And the employee says, but I have unlimited PTO. And the employer says, that's not what we meant. And the employee says, but that's what it says. So that's what I'm taking. So unlimited PTO, not a fan. What are your thoughts?
So I'm working at a company that has unlimited PTO and I'm learning how to use it because I'm used to the, you know, I get this many days a year, so you figure out how to ration it. But as I've talked to my manager, they say it comes down to as best of reason as you can. And so I'm trying to take more days because I'm trying to bounce off. Because the idea is, the principle behind it is, as you have people come back refreshed regularly, they can do more work to offset the time that they took off. And so it really comes down to, I can't remember, I've heard lots of studies, I don't have any of the references in front of me, that an 8-hour workday is not the most productive. Somewhere in the ballpark of 4 to 6 hours is usually the most productive time for people for office work. For factory work, 8 hours is a good number. And then there's some jobs that you get up to 12 hours because that just works better scheduling wise, but it's still not the best for the people. And as you take time to find the best schedule, you can increase productivity, because there's a lot of people absolutely hate 9 to 5. Why? Because it's the set hours that someone prescribed. But and you'll hear a lot of people going, yeah, my 8-hour workday, I sat there for 6 hours and I got my 8 hours worth of work done in 2 hours because they were able to hit their productivity time window and they were able to produce versus they can do a little bit constantly. And for developers, there's a reason why there's a stereotype that they stay up till 3 a.m. It's because that's when their mind turns on and they're able to do stuff. But because they have to do a 9 to 5, their mind isn't on, so they can't do anything.
So I think it would totally depend upon the industry and the type of job. Because if your job is to man the front desk of a business that has clients coming in and going out on a regular basis throughout the day, then for you to take unlimited PTO, who's going to do your job of taking care of those clients and answering the phone if you're taking unlimited PTO? I think it absolutely would speak to team culture and work culture and what goals the company's trying to achieve. And I think it also, on one hand, I can see how it would create employee loyalty, but from a management leadership perspective, what's the turnover of employees going to look like? Because there are going to be employees who take advantage of that. So if an employer is having to fire a lot of people for taking advantage of it, then it's going to end up increasing the employer's costs, because if those employees try to then take advantage of unemployment benefits, then it can impact the business's finances for covering unemployment expenses. So as someone who deals with risk management, yeah, I'd like to read the research. You should send me a couple of links, because I'd like to read more about that, because I think it's opening a can of worms.
And to your point, it really depends on what industry you're in and what type of work you're doing. Because I was thinking house cleaner. If you're taking all the time off, you're not getting paid for it, and people aren't getting cleaned. And it really comes down to, we talked about it briefly, in another podcast, of, are you getting paid for time? Are you getting paid for your knowledge? Are you getting paid to accomplish a very specific task? And so it really comes down to, if you do contract work and you complete one task and get paid a ton, yeah, you can take 11 months off in the year and then go work 1 month and get all your money. If you're paid hourly, you have to sit there. Granted, it's not a ton of work, but you have to occupy a spot to and accomplish whatever task you're given. If you're paid for knowledge, yeah, sometimes it might take 2 hours to complete a task that some people take 8 hours. And sometimes it really just comes down to, you spend time trying to solve it. And a lot of knowledge workers, yes, they're not actively typing on a keyboard, but they're mentally processing the problem to try to figure out how to solve it. So it really depends on what type of job, what type of work. And I also goes to, like, startups. You'll hear owners say, yeah, they work 80 hours weeks, but it also comes down to, are they maximizing their times? Are they balancing it? Because is it something they can really do in 30 minutes, but they spend all day at the office because they like watching their company paid Netflix? It really just comes down to, why is it taking that long? And is there a better way? Or is it one of those that what you could solve in 5 minutes takes you 5 hours because you're just that tired, but you refuse to stop and take a nap? When if you take 30 minutes to take a nap, you can do that 5 minute task in 5 minutes versus the 5 hours of it's just not working.
Yeah, because there's a phrase out there that says a job will take as long as the amount of time you give to it.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of butchered that. I don't know how the exact quote goes.
That's about it.
And so I often think about that when I'm managing my own time. How much time do I actually want to devote to a particular task? And if I know I only have 30 minutes to do it, will I hustle up and do all of the steps in the process more quickly and efficiently because I know I only have 30 minutes? Or do I want to go about something more slowly, more methodically, to make sure it's done just right, and so then give it more time? But yeah, oftentimes the work will take the amount of time we allot to it.
And sometimes it will exceed, because I got one project that if I only did the time I originally allotted to it, it would have been done weeks ago. But it's a bigger problem than what I thought it was, and so it snowballed. And there's things that will take the time it needs to take, and that you can't speed up, you can't slow it down. Granted, you can always slow it down, but it's one of those that there's the magical formula on projects of, if you want to complete it on time, it'll cost you money and people. If you want to take less people, it costs less but takes more time. If you want it to cost the right amount, you need to have the right amount of people and the right amount of time. And so it's just that really interesting balance of how do you balance those resources? Because to your point, some tasks will take as much time as you give it, but at the same time, there is a realistic time for all tasks.
Yeah. And again, I've mentioned the book before, Time Management from the Inside Out by Julie Morgenstern. That's where one of the projects in there is to track and map how long your projects are taking, your tasks are taking, because then if you have regular routine items that recur in your either your work life, your personal life, or both, then you can come to know that this task usually takes me 15 to 30 minutes. And so you can appropriately budget the right amount of time for that task. Yeah.
Whew. Yeah. All these paradoxes.
Yeah. Productivity paradox. Whew. That turned out to be a little tiring.
So there's plenty of paradoxes to go around, but do you have any wrapping up paradoxes?
Wrapping up paradox. Should I ask Google what a wrapping up paradox is?
You could. I was just putting words together. But...
paradox of ending things. The most interesting paradox of ending things is that the process of striving toward a goal often provides more meaning and fulfillment than achieving the goal itself. The achievement paradox occurs when the struggle for a goal is more meaningful than its accomplishment. There you go.
The journey's better than the destination.
Sometimes it is. Sometimes it is. So we have found a little bit of joy, a little bit of paradox in this journey today. But I'd say on that note, let's wrap it up. It was fun to talk about paradoxical kinds of things. But if anybody has a favorite paradox they want to share in the comments, please do so. Leave us a comment, give us a follow, favorite, bookmark, share with a friend, and we'll see you next time for the next episode of What Else You Got with Mitch and Margo. See ya.